Welcome to How Now, the podcast where we talk about how to live in the now. And here's your host, Kim Martin Raymond.
And blessings, love, and light. And welcome to this edition of the How Now podcast, where we talk about how to live in the now. I am your host, Kim Martin Raymond. I am a minister, spiritual life coach. I'm a health and nutrition awareness coach, author, and founder of Redefining You LLC, where I help my clients to realign themselves, mind, body, and spirit. And welcome to today's show. And if you are new to the How Now podcast, welcome to the How Now podcast family. Make sure that you go to my website, www.hownowpodcast.com. Pick your favorite podcast platform and make sure that you like, follow, share, and subscribe. You can also scroll down to the bottom, click on the banner for this week's show, and it'll take you to the How Now YouTube channel, where you can like, follow, share, and subscribe there and find out what's been going on in the now. We are in season 3 of the How Now podcast. You can go back and check out some of those shows that you may have missed. So you're always aware of what's going on in the now. And again, that is www.hownowpodcast.com. So let's get into today's show, which is entitled Chaos to Clarity. Okay, we know that with this pandemic, with the things that have been going on politically, socially around the country, that, you know, we have to be in that space of clarity. We have to get into a space where we've had to make some pivots. We've had to make some life changes. And it has not been easy for everyone to be able to make that change. And we know that it's important that in order for us to address things that are going on, we have to have things in our toolbox that prepare us for situations as they come. You know, I think about when we have a leaky faucet, we want to make sure that we have the tools that we need to fix that. If we have something that's going on with our car, that we have the things that are needed to fix our car or to refill it with gas or things that may happen. We're always looking to have the tools that we need to address the problems that we face. And that really speaks to, you know, being able to have some level of mental fitness. And that is a huge topic. It is something that I exercise in my life daily and to help me to, you know, kind of go through the weeds of this. And again, peel back some of the layers of this is my lovely, lovely guest. And of course, as is customary with the How Now podcast, I'm going to have her to introduce herself at this time.
Thank you so much, Kim. Oh my gosh, it is such a pleasure to be here today. Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining me, for asking me to join you today in this podcast and for us to delve a little bit more deeply into mental fitness. Mental fitness is what I do. It's what I eat, breathe, sleep. I am a mental fitness trainer. I love working with women, especially women in transition, in large part because I have been that woman. I have been the corporate girl who needed to understand how to level up. I needed to, at some point, walk away from a corporate job and just do something differently. I took a lot of time doing that. I wasted a lot of energy doing that, lots of tears. And then I started my own product-based business. And that brings a whole lot of challenges. Another transition, which brought me to where we are today, into coaching. So I am a full-time coach. I work primarily, like I said, with women who are in transition. But, you know, I have space for people in transition. So however you choose to identify, if you're in transition, that's kind of where I come in. And the tools that I teach people more than anything else are mental fitness tools. So I am super duper excited to talk about the work I do with the way things show up. Just share a little bit of the foundation of mental fitness coming from my perspective. And I'm hopeful that as we go through this, Kim, you'll start to see yourself in some of what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
And I'm happy to share some of like the journeys I personally have taken and people that I have worked with and spoken to and just share some of that. So it's all quite relevant. Yeah. And then people kind of walk away feeling like, wow, that was a good use of my half an hour, 45 minutes or an hour, however long we take today.
So yes. Awesome. Thank you, Locke, so much for being here. I mean, we'll start from the beginning because, like I said, you know, it's all about how we connect and how we, you know, are able to assist people. Because, you know, there are a lot of coaches out there. There are a whole lot of people out there who are providing support, but we tend to connect to those whose stories we can resonate with. And so, you know, in respect to that, tell me a little bit about how you got into, you know, mental fitness. You know, was this something that you were doing prior to the pandemic, or was this something that came about as a result of it?
So that's an interesting question. My journey as a coach started long before I realized it had. Let me explain that a little bit. I was doing a business consulting job, and the owner of the company literally called me in and said, I see what you're doing with the staff, and I want you to do this with me. I need you to coach me. Blew my mind. I'm like, I'm sorry, people pay people to do this? Like, I had no idea, right. Okay? So I love to say that coaching found me. But that's just a funny story I like to share as to how I ultimately understood that coaching was a thing and that I have now embraced it fully. Now, pre-pandemic, I was not a full-time coach. Pre-pandemic, I was in a world that I still believed said to me to be considered, you know, an adult with a real job and doing things that matter and acceptable and all of that stuff. That you know, I was in my corporate job and people were horrified when I left that. I mean, who leaves Wall Street and who leaves Big Pharma? And there was a lot of guilt and shame with that. But I had to figure out a way to work through that. And I did successfully on multiple times. So when it came time to pandemic and I was running a product-based business, that got slowed down to the point where when I tried to restart it, it just was overwhelming. I was done. I was out. I hit a crossroads. I had to figure out whether it was worth it to me to raise capital again, get that product back up, just re-energize that business.
Right.
Or to really sit and understand, is that really what I want to do? Is that really what I want to do? And then I got a business coach. I love that experience. I'm thinking, now mind you, I had already coached somebody before, right? But it didn't occur to me that I hadn't made the link quite yet. But, you know, just going through that process, I realized that, no, a product-based business, and especially not the one I was doing, that was not me. That was not what I wanted is what I wanted, but that was not the vehicle to get me there. And so I look around and I see women doing the same thing. I see some of the people that I would have graduated with in college. They're still stuck in those soul-sucking jobs. They hate it. They're still trying to figure out how to navigate from where they are to the next level up, to the next level up. They're still overcoming all of those mental hurdles and they're feeling so stuck. They're feeling overwhelmed. They're mothers, they're caretakers, they're, you know, the whole nine yards. So I can relate to those people because I was her. And I just pray that people now understand you don't have to waste as much time and as many years as I did. Right. Like I think if the pandemic taught me anything, it was that take a chance on you. Right. The whole world stops. The whole world did whatever. And, you know, when we restarted, I hear people talking about the new normal. No. Let's please not. Please don't.
Right,
please.
Right.
No. Like, right. No. Wrong.
Right.
Wrong answer. Right. Let's just see what have we learned? What were we challenged to find out about us? You know, and if you're me, it was time to figure out in all of those roles and jobs. You always naturally good at what are your strengths, right? And then I clocked hundreds of hours and spent thousands more dollars to learn how to do it better, to learn the finer techniques about it. And then mental fitness came in at the end of my certification when I stumbled upon the actual foundations. You know, this is the structure. These are the foundations that we work with to understand what this is and how everybody can embrace this to make a huge difference in their lives. That's when I went right back into learning again. And this is it for me. Mental fitness is going to be, this is alignment training. That's what I do. I can now see when I look in the rearview mirror, that's what helped me navigate through some of the most difficult times. And what I wish is that I had the tools that I have now,
mm-hmm.
that I could have done those things faster,
right. Right.
With a lot less tears and pain and expense.
Right. Right.
So yeah, that's my mental fitness journey. You know, it's yeah. more than just what I do for a living. It's my lifestyle. It's what yeah. I teach and just, I want to sensitize everybody that it is possible to learn how to handle the things that you're going through
right.
better, more productively, without all of that stress and overwhelm and just feeling like you're all alone and that you're stuck. It is not to move through that faster
yeah.
and just feeling better about it.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think it's so important that we are in a space where, you know, like I was talking about earlier, that we find those tools that we need, because one thing that I'm passionate about is helping us to be able to cope. And COPE mm-hmm. for me is the acronym for COPE is creating our peaceful existence. How are we creating our peaceful existence? What are we doing that's going to help us to better navigate, just like you said, in the space mm-hmm. that we're in right now, you know, because we're here and what have we learned from that? And I love that you say, you know, it is important that, you know, mental fitness is that vehicle that's going
it
to
is.
Help us to move into space and to address those issues that we're having, you know, and creating coping mechanisms that are possible and not ones that are produced, you know, as you know, through medication or things like that. We want it to be something that's organic. What is something that we can do beyond, you know, that medication is important and can be, you know, helpful for some, but what about those who don't have access to medication?
Right.
What about those who don't have the insurance to pay for it, or those who
right.
can't, you know, afford those things? So are we just to say, oh, well, I'm sorry, you can't take a pill, so, you know, sucks
right,
to be
right.
you. No, we
yeah,
want to know what are the things that we can do to help ourselves, you know, because our body goes through a period of homeostasis. We know how to regulate certain things. When we are hot, our body sweats, you know, when we're in pain, we act to that pain, or when we, you know, cut ourselves or things happen, our body knows how to heal itself. So it's really important that, you know, we dip into that mental fitness aspect and say, okay, what is it that I need to be doing? What are the tools that I need to do to help me in this particular situation? So, you know, like I said, when you talk
yeah.
about mental fitness, talk a little bit about what mental fitness is so that people are clear on that.
Yeah, sure thing. I'm happy to do that. I also just want to tap into something you said earlier, where, you know, you made the connection with, if you don't have the means to pay for it, like, you know, ultimately you just get sidelined, right? You don't have a means to address it. I would like to suggest that for mental fitness, that these days you have so much access to stuff for free online, on the internet, to just learn. But oftentimes we don't understand what's wrong, so we don't know what we're treating, you know? Right. And I also want to just put something in perspective. For me, mental fitness, right? We can go textbook definitions, but I love real life so that people can go like, oh my gosh, yeah, right? That's kind of more my style. So I like to think of mental fitness as, you know, if you lost your husband, the car, the job, if you lost a leg tomorrow, right?
Right.
I mean, these are huge things. These are not things to be taken lightly. These are not things that are just ho-hum. But if in all of those things, you can remain in a place of connectedness to source, whatever, whoever you name that to be, if you could maintain what I call the sage perspective, you start being able to get to that place of clarity and peace so that you can navigate your way out of all of the chaos. That to me demonstrates the strength of your mental fitness. So it doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank. It doesn't matter any of that stuff, married, single, black, white, green, yellow, it doesn't matter. It's the core person's ability to navigate their way out of chaos, as I call chaos. And chaos, my chaos is different from your chaos, right? My chaos could just be the kids, the husband, the infidelity, the mother who just broke a hip, the best friend who just stole from me. That could be my chaos in the moment.
Right.
How do I look at that and still be, wow, that was an awful thing that happened. Own it, acknowledge it, and also still be okay and say, now what? You know, how do I navigate that well? So mental fitness, I'll just share the skeleton of what the program is. And I just think it's such a brilliant framework that everybody can relate to.
Yeah.
So through science and through research over, it's close to 1 million people at this point in time. This researcher, his name is Shehrzad Shamin. We've distilled down now to 10 what we call saboteurs. And those are predispositions to that we use to limit ourselves. And some of them, and you might recognize some of them, some are called the avoider, the controller, the people pleaser, the stickler. The name infers what those self-sabotaging tendencies are. They are innate, right? They're not bad things. They're not character flaws. You know, they're not problems to be overcome. They are predispositions that we have. Just like, why do some kids absolutely love peas and some just don't, right? Why do you love yellow and I just can't stand it? It's just a predisposition. Who knows why? Okay. It doesn't necessarily mean some traumatic event happened in childhood. It is just a predisposition. Okay. So just for context, 10 saboteurs, we can think of them like that. Then we have what's called the sage perspective. That's that part of us, that part of our brain that allows for creativity, for problem solving, for seeing the big picture, for putting things in context, for being able to, innovate, ask one more question, right? And then we have what's called the self-command muscle. That's the ability to get from the chaos to the clarity, from the saboteur. Your self-command is your ability to make that shift, right? So skeleton, that is mental fitness. That's my approach to mental fitness. Yeah. You do an assessment, we figure out which are yours, you know?
Right.
You have a hyper-rational. We will analyze every single thing, except that human emotions are also very important and they do factor in. But if you're so busy with the rationale, you know, A+ for that technical skill. But what about the people component? Like without that, you may be missing something, right? So it's just helping us to explore those things. Now, when we understand ourselves to that level, we can then start to show up in the world very differently.
Yeah.
You know, we can be better partners. We can be better employees. We can be better bosses. We can just be better humans.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my context of mental fitness. When I talk about mental fitness, I talk about our ability to identify, to use those three core muscles,
yeah,
the saboteurs, to identify your saboteur, and then work on the muscle called the saboteur interceptor, to use the sage and get that sage perspective. And the third muscle being the self-command, our ability to get there from one stage to the other. Yeah.
I love that. I absolutely love that. I mean, and it's important. I love that you say that it is a muscle, because just like we have physical fitness and we have to exercise particular muscles and do things, you know, and I know this from my wellness journey and how important strength training was in order to have things to snap back where there were some things we're not able to snap back the way they could because of age and because of how much weight I had gained. But it was important to know what those muscles were and the importance of them. And I mean, you make a wonderful point earlier when you were saying that, you know, it's so important that we understand, you know, we are living in an age of technology. If there is something that we're not familiar with or that we don't understand, that we take the time to understand the mechanics behind it or why something is the way it is. You know, we see people who hold their phones up and they're like, Google, tell me why such and such and so and so. You know, because we want to know. We have we have the ability to find out things. I think that I wouldn't be as successful in in some of the things that I've experienced on a physical level if I didn't do the work. You know, I wanted to learn more about my health. So I became a health and nutrition awareness coach because I needed to understand the dynamics behind food and what it did and how my body reacted to it. And I think that the same holds true when we talk about mental fitness. What are those things 100%. That we need to exercise? Yeah, what are those things that we need to exercise so that we can get to that place where you said of self-command, where we can move beyond that? Because sometimes we can't move because we can't see where we're going. Think of a navigation system. When you're in your car, if you're going somewhere, do you just start driving or do you put the directions in or you put the destination in so you know where you're going? You know?
It's so funny. That is one of the sage perspectives. That's one of the sage powers, as I like to call it. It's called a navigation. That's one of the techniques. And so, see, you're a woman who is just clearly skilled in mental fitness already. But yeah, that is one of the techniques that you use. You know, you're in the middle of a quandary. You're just really feeling stuck. You're not sure which is the right, quote unquote, decision to make. One of the techniques I would take a client through is, you know, just getting to the place of complete stillness where you learn to quiet and trust and tap in, and then go, when you look at your older, wiser self, for example, you know, what decision would she wish you had made in this instance? Mm-hmm. Powerful stuff. It sounds very simplistic. And obviously there's a journey to get there and a journey to get there. But in those moments, you know, when you don't have, like you said, I think it was Napoleon Hill or one of those old school guys who I still consider my mentors, you know, talks about the ship leaving the harbor.
Yeah.
You know, these days, let's just use planes. And you're the lady who's always in the air. You fly a lot.
Yes.
You know, when you get onto that plane, you trust that your pilot has a point, like programmed in, right? So that even though the winds may be coming this way and that, and the traffic might be, he may veer to the left, he may veer to the right. But you know, we know we're going to New York City.
Right.
We know we're going to JFK Airport in New York City. Like we need to know exactly where it is that we're going, or else how the heck are you going to get there?
Right.
The thing with mental fitness, though, is that when those winds come, continuing on with the plane analogy, you know, and you get buffeted left and right, are you just going to continue going off course because it's so hard, you know? Are you going to beat yourself up because you feel like a failure because you wanted to get from here to there, but you seem to be going in this direction instead? How long are you going to stay there exactly?
Right.
How is that serving you? Is that helping you get to the ultimate destination or not?
Right?
So it's learning how to recognize, oh crap, am I judging myself? Am I beating myself up right now?
Right.
Okay, what do I need to do in this moment so that I can redirect?
Absolutely.
Right? This mental fitness is all about how quickly can you spot that? How quickly can you get yourself back on track?
Right.
How much energy is it going to take? Right. That's what mental fitness does. It helps you to intercept those sabotaging behaviors. And be able to get that navigation, the sage perspective going, and then the self-command to switch and go like, you know what? And if you've heard me speak before, you know, I talk about the beauty of a pity party. Have the pity party. I have no problem. I personally, no problem with pity party. Everybody should have one. Mm-hmm. It's not a destination though. You know what? Enjoy the pity party. Give it a time. Like, listen, for 30 minutes, I'm going to sit here and bawl my eyes out because that is the emotion that needs to get to be honored right now. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to watch that like spot on the wall for 30 minutes because that's all I can handle. Do that.
Right.
Enjoy your time.
Right.
So when your thing and 30 minutes are up, get the boots on. Let's go. Let's keep walking. Right. That's so that's what for me, mental fitness is all about. It's helping us identify, move in the direction and self-command and shift. Like that, that's what I'm all about. That's what I'm like cheerleading people to do.
That's it. I absolutely love that. And I mean, and just like you said, going along with your airplane analogy, you know, it's a matter of, you know, and just like last night, as I was flying in from my destination, you know, we had another destination to be to. And he said, you know, we hit some rough air. We hit some turbulence, you know, and that's what you're talking about, those saboteurs. Okay. So we've got a little turbulence and we're moving right, But it didn't mean like, you know, like we said, okay, we're not coming back to Atlanta. We're just going to go on over here to Michigan because we can't make it to Atlanta. No, we've got a little turbulence and they were like, okay, just hang on, put your seatbelt on to make sure that you're safe. But we're still going to go. Ultimately, the goal is to get to Atlanta. And that's what happened. We made it there. We didn't veer so far off course that now we're someplace totally different from where we're supposed to be. Our destination was supposed to be this way. Yes, we had a little turbulence. Some things happened. We may have to reroute a little bit. We may have to be in this space a little longer, so it may delay us a little bit, but we're still getting to that destination. We're still
100%.
Getting where we set out to get. And just like you said, that's why it's so important to know, okay, what are we going? And a lot of that comes with a level of awareness. I'm aware of what's happening. I may not know what to do, but I'm at least acknowledging that I'm in a space that I'm not comfortable in. And just like you said, I may have to sit here for a minute because I just don't know what to do. So out of frustration, I may just need to cry. Or I may just be like, But just like you said, it's not a matter of being stuck in that vacuum.
Right. Have you ever noticed? I mean, let's just take something like when you step out of the shower, suddenly you have like all these bright ideas. Or after a really good cry, man, you feel so good, and suddenly you can't write the ideas down fast enough, right?
Right.
So yeah, sometimes you need to go through that to just free up.
That's it. That's it. I think about the physical too, just like you said, exercise. You know, I get up every morning and I'm like, I don't want to go down. Yeah, it's 12 steps to my basement where my gym is, and I call it the 12 step program. And I've got to go down. Like, okay, here we go. I gotta go downstairs. But then you come out of it after you've done the work, then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I feel great. I feel so good. I'm so glad that I did that. And I feel like it's the same. You know, I've written some things down. I'm excited about some of the thoughts that I've had. Now it's a matter of going to execute it. And then when you do it, you go, oh, why didn't I think to do that earlier? Or what stopped me from doing it earlier? So much of it.
And that's the thing. Yeah. And that's the thing. And that's what I think that's the hidden opportunity cost. Like, we don't understand when we're spending so much time in what I call a hijacked state, you know, so focused on all the things that didn't work out, they're not going right. We're beating ourselves up. We're succumbing to the pressures of others beating us up. You're cut off from that free flowing ideation, from that creativity, from that exploration of alternate routes, you know? So that's a cost.
Yes.
Sitting there for too long is a cost, but we overlook that. It's clearly a passion of mine. I can talk about this stuff all day.
Yes. But you're right. It's so important that because we tend to get stuck. And a lot of us get stuck. We get to a point where it's just like, okay, I can't move. But it's so important, like you said, to go through the emotion, because if we don't, release it. And sometimes part of what holds us back is because we're holding on and not letting go. You know, we always hear statements, you know, spiritually, people say, let go and let God, things like that. Or just, you know, let it go. There have been songs about it, all the, you know, Frozen, let it go. And all kinds of, you know, we're constantly hearing letting it go. And sometimes it is. It's easier said than done. You know, some people can't. It's like, if I release it, I'm not sure what's going to happen. If I release this, if I show frustration, you know, am I going to be judged by that? And and especially for our young boys, you know, when people are saying, you know, man up, you know, men don't cry, don't suck it up. It's not always easy to do that, you know, because for some people there's a cost that comes along with that. What does that mean? If I release, what does that mean? Does that mean that I'm putting myself in a place of being vulnerable? And some people are not comfortable with that, you know?
Right.
I'm going to let my guard down. And that may be that I'm opening myself up to judgment. I'm opening myself up to being hurt by someone. I put my guard down. And what's going to happen as a result of that? Am I going to be injured as a result? And so I don't want any more pain to come to me. You know? So I can keep this wall up, because if I put it down, somebody's going to come and stomp on me, and I'm not going to be able to deal with it.
Yeah. And it's also recognizing that, okay, that is going to hurt. What is hurting more though? Not knowing and staying stuck,
right,
or working through that judgment of somebody else? Or even better, have you ever noticed when you finally dislodge yourself and you actually accomplish the task at hand, you realize, wait, hold on, all of those things that I was so afraid of, they were all in my head. They never even materialized.
Right.
They were not real.
Right.
Right? And so it's oftentimes also just helping people understand you're fighting these battles and wars all in your mind. May or may not even ever happen, but then you're going to deny yourself a whole beautiful experience out of fear, doubt, shame, worry, the rest of it, because you didn't have the tools to sit there and just come to terms with what you were feeling, label it, identify it, learn how to intercept it. And we're not talking about, and I want to be very clear, we're not talking about disassociating and pretending and just, you know, and for the people who love affirmations, I'm not knocking affirmations in and of themselves, but please nobody come and tell me, I am strong, I am strong. And everything else about your body is telling you how weak you are, and you have evidence telling you other, but here you are going to be saying, like, no, that's not an effective tool. Mental fitness is all about understanding the reality, looking at it, in just looking at it head on, owning it, and also now using your sage powers to understand, I don't really like how that situation looks. That doesn't make me feel comfortable, but I know I have it in me to understand how to make it comfortable, how to get past this, how to get through this, how to get to the other side. So for me, that is what mental fitness is all about. So just, I mean, I can just throw in, I know we're talking about this, but I wanted to just one little thing I can show, one technique that I show people. It's called PQ repping.
Okay.
So PQ is, and IQ is, right? The intellectual intelligence quotient and the emotional intelligence quotient. PQ has to do with positive intelligence, right?
Okay.
So that's your PQ, when I talk about PQ reps. And what, you know, there are little techniques that we can do throughout the day, right? Training, just like, oh, I want my summer body. I want to wear that sexy bikini. And so I'm going to wake up every single morning and go to the gym. Okay, well, we can go to the gym for our minds too with some simple basic things. So one of the ones, and if you want to play with me, we can do it right now.
Sure.
And anybody who's listening to this, because you're not going to watch it live, do it along with us. So just basically close your eyes.
Okay.
And rub two fingertips together. Two fingertips together, your thumb and your index finger. Rub them together with such a tension that you can feel the ridges of each fingertip. Just focus on no other sensation. If the thoughts come, just watch them come, let them go, and just feel those fingertips. Okay, and take a deep breath in and exhale. All right, and open your eyes.
Wow.
All right. Did you just for a minute get totally clear? How do you feel?
Okay, I'm sorry. We lost a little bit of what you said right there. You were saying that, how did I feel after I did that?
I was asking you how you felt.
Yes. Yeah, well, for me, I felt focused because I was focusing on my fingers. I was focusing on what was happening right there, and nothing else was, you know, and listening to the directives that you were giving me. So for me, in order to do that, I had to focus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you said focus on those two
and
fingers.
So that's just,
okay.
Yeah, right? And to the such attention, so you're really not paying attention because you're not just rubbing the fingertips together. You now have a particular thing that you've instructed your mind to do, your brain to do. I need to feel the ridges on each fingertip, okay? So that's a very basic exercise in self-command, all right? Very basic, very, very basic one. You can be in a meeting in a high stress situation. Your kid could have just told you some nonsense and you are about to take it out on that kid.
Right.
Or you just direct your attention elsewhere for a little bit. Bring your irate level down a little bit. Clear some mental space there. so that you can now show up differently.
I love that.
That's just one basic little technique that we teach people. And yes, I mean, that's just one of many, 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 many ones, right?
Yes. But just like you said, it's so important that we have that level of focus that I think about when you were talking about, making sure that we're in a space of, and I want to make sure that I'm being clear in this too.
Sage.
I'm going back. We're talking about the sage and talking about creativity and talking about making sure that we're not getting stuck or we're not putting ourselves in a place of feeling that sabotage. Mm-hmm. What it made me think of was how we talk about, even biblically speaking, how we talk about having the mindset of a child. When we start thinking about, what were some of the things that we were successful in doing that we weren't able to do? I think about us as an infant. As an infant, you go from crawling to walking. It's not something that, it's something that is innate in us to be able to do, and we're successful in doing it. Think about when we learned how to ride a bike. We just got on that bike and we kept riding it. We fell off it a bit a couple of times and we jumped back on it. And eventually we learned how to ride that bike. Eventually we learned how to drive a car. There are certain things that we were successful in being able to do, and not because we sabotaged ourselves. It was something that was a desire that we had. It was something that we were set on doing, and we just went about the steps of doing it, and it didn't matter. As a young child, if you want to drive a car, you want to be able to go places and do things, and that you weren't able to do those things if you didn't learn how to drive, and you can get further and do more if you had a vehicle.
Right.
So there was that something, there was that why that pushed you to get to that point. You wanted to ride a bike like your other friends on your block. So you hopped on that bike and you took whatever time you needed to do to learn how to do it. But it was just something that we pushed ourselves to do. And we didn't think about, what if I don't want to do it? The goal was, I want to ride that bike and I'm going to do whatever it takes to ride that bike. I see my friends roller skating and I want to roller skate. I don't care what it takes. I'm going to roller skate. We didn't vacillate. We didn't spend so much time saying, if I don't skate right. We just wanted to be able to get on those skates and get out there with our friends.
And you know what? A big part of that was getting present in the now. And that's why I loved the name of your podcast. I just love what you are all about, because you don't jump onto the bike thinking, oh my gosh, and if I fall down, I'm going to scrape my knee, and oh my God, I break my legs. And then, you could do that too. Or you can hop on the bike and focus really like, okay, I need to keep my balance. Oop, it's going to tip me over. I need to turn it left and right. And you just were fully present. When you got to be fully present, then you allowed all of those innate things to kick in. And won't you know it, you started writing. You didn't even think about, okay, now I need to pedal one foot. No, you just started doing it.
Right.
But you needed to get fully present first.
Yes.
You can feel all the subtle shifts that were going, so that you can self-correct and keep going, So when we talk about, I know we're talking about post-pandemic and transitions from pandemic and stuff.
Right.
I like to help people to focus on you now. Pandemic was awful for every single person. Wherever you were, from the little islands to the big multi-million mansions, we all were subjected to some level of restraint. We weren't able to fly and travel and shop and socialize as we all have. And so that was rough for a lot, for all of us, right? For some more than others. And I just would like to encourage everybody to get really, really present these days.
Yeah.
Sit in the now, right? Sit in the now. Start looking at, where are we now? What's going on right now in my life, in my world? What are some of the challenges that I still face? They're real. Nobody is saying they're not. We're not minimizing anything. We're also saying equally available is creative. Is creatively thinking about solutions.
Right.
Equally available.
Right.
Equally, it's on the menu too. So let's make good selections, right? Yeah. And I mean, I hope I don't sound as if I'm oversimplifying.
No.
Pushing the envelope a little bit and saying that too is on the menu. Now, you may need some glasses to see it, because it might be in fine print on your menu. I'm not saying it's not.
Right.
But let's just find it. Find it. It's possible. It's there. Right? That's like my message. I can't keep sharing that message in all different ways I put it and shape it. And like, that's still fundamentally the message.
Yeah.
You know,
it is.
Stay present, navigate through to the next. There is a way. You don't have to get a coach. I want you to hire me. I want you to work with Kim. I want you to work with a good coach. And if you can't do that or you're not so inclined, go online. There are so many amazing resources. That's read books. There's so many books. There's so many books. There's so many podcasts. There's so many everything's.
Right.
You know,
so the information is there.
Yeah, you know. So yeah, that's my message to people.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's an important one. I like that. I like the PQ wrapping exercise because it is. It is something that brings us to focus. And that's the key thing. We wanted to take ourselves from a space of everything being all over the place to say, okay, I need to be clear on something. And it doesn't mean that you have to be clear on everything at one time.
Exactly.
It's a matter of you know, when you were talking about in the beginning about saboteurs and things like that, one of the initial things that you can do is, okay, what is something that's stopping me right now?
Exactly.
What is something that is going on that's immediate or something that's important to you right now? What is stopping you from reaching that goal? For some people, they may say, you know, I can't do the things that I want to do financially because I don't have, you know, I haven't been able to find employment. Okay, so now we need to start saying, okay, now that we're clear on what's sabotaging us or what's holding us back, now what is something that I can do to start walking in that direction? You know, I can't get to work because I don't have a vehicle or I don't have a means to get that. It's a matter of figuring out what that one thing is, right?
So here's the other thing, and I'm glad you raised that example with the people who might be unemployed right now, right? So my message to those people are, sometimes we are looking for another job. We want to find another one of what we had that we feel like we've lost. And the answer sometimes could be, maybe now is this is the pause button for you to figure out, what do you want to do with the rest of your life?
Right.
If it's really hard reopening a door that has been closed, that might be a message. That might be an opportunity for you to now explore, what else are my talents? When I had to make a decision, I had to go back and go, do I want to restart this business again? I'm going to have to now import a pod because this thing was there. I need to get some technical resources. I need to go rehire people. I need to go, you know, reestablish all of these connections and re-energize. What am I really good at? What have I always been good at? What have I never believed that I could do? You know, did I have imposter syndrome? Did those little voices come like, who's going to pay you to coach them? Like, dude, everybody knows you as a finance professional. Like, they're really going to, you know, all of those little voices in your head, right? Did I feel pressure? But I gotta get something done because bills are not gonna sit here waiting for me to go my life out. I get that. But guess what? It's gonna take you time to find a job anyway.
Right.
Carve out some time to truly do some introspection and truly sit with yourself and understand, what are your strengths? What are you good at? And where do you want to go? Because when you start being pulled in a direction,
right,
miracles happen. Right. At the risk of sounding biblical, and for the people who may, you know, magic happens. Things just coincidences. That some people are more comfortable with the word coincidences. I believe there's no such thing. But you know, for those who may, that might be what they align with. Yeah, right. When you are clear on what your why is and what you're being pulled to do, you know, stars line up, angels sing. Suddenly the path becomes clearer.
You're right.
I fundamentally believe that. I have seen it work with other people. It's worked in my life. And I help people to find those miracles too. Like, it's really not that magical. You know, you just need to connect with your why, with your source.
Understand.
I just have one more special thing for my ladies, because I know a lot of women tend to be what we call people pleasers. So for the people pleasers, and you had said something that made me think about it, where sometimes, you know, we want to make sure everybody's happy and we keep saying yes, yes, yes. Ladies, when the answer is no, please say no. Because saying yes when the answer is really no is not helping you, and it's not helping the whoever them is.
Right.
It's not. What you're doing is you're putting one more obstacle in your own way to get to ultimately what it is you want. Because when we say yes, 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 and this is really fresh in my mind, because it seems like my last few interactions with people have been, I'm hearing this theme, so it's really present with me right now.
Yes.
And I'm just getting to say, please stop. It's not serving you, and it's not serving those who you are. You're misrepresenting yourself to and to them. And underneath there is something not pretty happening. There's a little resentment growing. There's a little distance going. You are being inauthentic. You're not as, it is clearer than you think it is to the other people. It does not buy you any brownie points in the long run.
Absolutely.
So I just felt like saboteur, people pleaser, with those who that resonates with, please, it's not serving.
Right.
And even if you think in the short term it is, if you have a long-term play, if you have a long-term goal, if this is a long-term relationship, it doesn't serve in the long run.
It doesn't serve. You're absolutely right. The one thing that I tell people, I say, you know what? We talk about people being people pleasers. I was like, realize that you're one of those people. You're people too. Okay, so while you're out there pleasing, you'd be pleasing yourself as well, because you're one of those people too.
Yep. Put yourself on the calendar. That's something I've been having people do of late. You're sitting here scheduling your week out, and it's all of these very important meetings. Make sure Kim has a slot on there. Figure out how much time she deserves.
Right.
You know? And if somebody calls, then you really need to sit and make it a deliberate decision.
Yeah.
In this moment, what is the most important thing for me to do right now? Honor my word, spend time with me, or once again, meet somebody else's need and try to fill them from an empty cup. Like, we really
have
to be a lot more intentional with making those decisions.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that is key. And just like you said, and when we talk about moving from that chaos to clarity, it is, like you said, it starts with identifying those saboteurs first, like you said, you know, and then being creative, having that sage perspective, you know, and being creative about, you know, the things that we need to do in order to move ourselves into that space of self-command, where we can finally say, okay, this is what I need to do. This is the direction that I need to take. But more importantly, I think that has resonated over this entire, talk that we've been having is, you know, it all stems from having that mental awareness. From exercising that mental muscle, from finding out, you know, going out and discovering things. Just like when you were talking about, you know, people who are unemployed, and this may be a time to make a pivot, or when you were talking about earlier how, you know, you said, no, this is not something I really want to do. If it's not, and you're not sure what to do, that's when you go on that journey of exploration. What's out there? Sometimes you don't know what you want to do. Some people say, well, you know, some people know what their passion or their goals. I just don't know what my passion is. It just may be that you haven't been introduced to it yet. So go online, see what people are doing. That's kind of why we have platforms like this. This is why I have How Now, to talk about different things and different aspects of life and things that people are doing, because this may be the first time you're hearing about anything like this. I didn't know about coaching when I became a coach. You didn't know a lot about anything about coaching until somebody mentioned it. You know, I was kind of like, what's a coach? I was thinking, oh, you know, I don't coach teams. I'm not athletic. And they were they're like, this kind of coach. And I'm like, oh, I had to go and learn about it and start researching about it and said, oh, that's what that is. We don't know what we don't know. And until we're introduced to certain things, and it's like, oh, wow, that's a thing? You know, you hear people say it all the time. Oh, that's a thing? People are doing that now? Wow, I had no idea. We have to, you know, that's what mental fitness is all about. Educating ourselves, too. We don't know what we don't know, right?
Mm-hmm. 100%. 100%.
So it's important, like I said, it's so important for us to, like you said, just like we exercise our physical muscles and we're getting ourselves, you know, beach ready and all those things like that. What are we doing to get ourselves mentally ready for the things that are going to continue to happen? This world has seen things that it hasn't seen in years to come. And
Never.
We know that we're going to see those things coming through. This is the first time in history that you have five different generations represented in the workforce. Did you know that? That's something that's been coming out. There are so many interactions and things that we're experiencing right now that we may never experience again. And so it's important that we take time to acknowledge those things, see how they directly affect us, you know, and our mental fitness, and what can we do to create that peaceful existence that we're talking about? How are we creating?
100%, 100%. And I just want to also just share that, just shine a spotlight on that again. We understand the importance of nutrition, of taking care of our bodies. You know, we're taught that. We've been sensitized to it, but nobody, I don't know about how you grew up and in your neighborhood and your community, nobody ever taught me about mental fitness. Nobody ever taught me about this stuff, right? We just somehow think we're going to pick it up or learn it. And no, I think we're beginning to appreciate how intentional we need to be with learning the techniques, learning the tools, and equipping ourselves to navigate. Because like you said, everything has changed. Have we ever had a pandemic that shut the entire world down? From little islands in the Caribbean that people don't know about, to Saudi Arabia, Australia, to every far-flung nation on the planet. We have never, ever had that before.
Right.
It is not business as usual. We need to learn how to cope. We need new tools to deal with these new situations. It's just the way it is, you know? So,
yes. Oh, my goodness. Like you said, we could talk for hours and hours and hours and hours on this because it is so important, and it's so personal to each and everyone's story. You know, as you and I were talking prior to the podcast starting, there have been so many, you know, things that have happened in my personal life, and you know, mental fitness has been key in helping me to be able to navigate through each one of those areas of my life, whether it was my physical journey and in losing the weight that I lost and what came with that. That was something, there was some mental things that I had to learn this new body and learn, you know, who this new person that I was looking at and accepting, you know, because I was taught to and conditioned to love the bigger version of myself. And now here it is, I'm experiencing another. So there was some separation. There was some, you know, I don't know who this new person is. That was a mental aspect. When I became a minister, it was a mental aspect. There were some spiritual things that I had to deal with in order to prepare myself to be an ordained minister. You know, when I lost my daughter, you know, almost 14 years ago, there was some emotional things that went on there that I had to deal with. So there have been many levels, and each one of those levels involves some form of mindset or mental fitness that allowed me to be able to get through those things. And you know, it doesn't mean that those things don't reoccur or that things don't come to my mind, but I've learned to equip myself with that mental fitness so that I can identify those things and get to that place of self-command that she was talking about. So it happens in each one of our lives in a very individual and personal way. And so it's just important that we, you know, continue to resonate with that and live in this now and move forward, right?
100%. Yes, yes, yes. Kim, and you are just an amazing example of how life can throw you challenges that could crush a person, level a person. A person can get stuck there for years and years and years. But yet you show up, you've got the biggest smile on your face, you've got the biggest heart, give me your energy just comes through the screen, right? But over the years, you've learned how to cope, how to manage, how to create the world you want to live in and be the person that you want to be, you know, even as you confront all of these new things. So, you know, thank you for being the person that you are and for creating this platform and just showcasing, you know, all of the ways that mental fitness could be and look. You know, that it's possible. And I always like to tell people, it's possible.
Yeah.
You know, Because when you don't even think it's possible, then if there's no hope, you can't go anywhere. So it's possible.
Right. Well, what I definitely want to do is make sure that people know how they can get in contact with you and to learn about your program from chaos to I'm going to make sure I get your name right, from chaos
to chaos to clarity.
Okay. Yeah. And so tell people how they can get in contact with you.
Sure thing. So I primarily am reachable on LinkedIn. So Lark Ambrose, LinkedIn. I do have a Facebook group called the Chaos to Clarity Drop-In Center. So I invite people to join that group. I am re-energizing it. I haven't been particularly active on Facebook, but I am beginning to expand on there. But primarily it's through LinkedIn. That's primarily how people can reach me.
Awesome. And make sure that I will put that in the description of the show, that they can reach you at Lark Ambrose. And then the Facebook group again
is the Chaos to Clarity Drop-In Center.
I
also want to say, for the people on LinkedIn, I am live every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I talk about issues that corporate dropouts, a phrase that I love to use, like myself, women in transition, basically. We talk about issues that women like that are going through. So I invite everybody to drop into my room. It's an audio live event. So it's not recorded. It's a live, when it's over, it's over. So half an hour, come on stage, ask me questions, engage. That's where I am every Wednesday morning at 11 Eastern Standard Time.
And that's Eastern Standard Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Correct. Standard Time. Okay, awesome. Correct. On Wednesdays. Okay. And that's what, you know, it's always wonderful for us, like I said, to be able to have resources and to be able to tap in. So please definitely connect with her. And that's the beauty of technology too. You know, we don't have to be, you know, in a central location or in a specific destination. We can just go online and globally tap into one another. And so, like I said, the doors are open for mental fitness and for opportunities to connect on different levels. And so I thank you for that, Lark. And then one thing that I always ask all of my guests before, you know, I end my show is, how are you living in the now? How are you, you know, what are some of the things that you're doing to navigate in the space that you're in?
Awesome. So, well, I showed you one of my little techniques to PQ wrapping, but I love to say that I live in alignment. Alignment is my word for 2023. So my now is all about alignment, being true to heart, soul, spirit. And just being in alignment, that's my word. But morning practices, the way I maintain that sounds very esoterical, but every morning I have my morning practices. I have a focus of the day. I do my PQ reps throughout the day. They're 2 minutes long at most, but it's just that consistent recentering so that I'm always feeling anchored and clear.
It's all about routine and having certain ways that you do things that help to, again, create your peaceful existence. And so, Lark, with that, I want to say thank you again so much for being here with us. You know, like I said, we can talk for hours and hours, and that's okay, because I have guests come back. You are always welcome to come back to the show and to share, because what's happening with you right now may not be what's happening 2 minutes, 2 weeks, 2 months, or 2 years from now. So you are always welcome to come back and let us know what's happening in your now. Now, are there any other final words that you'd like to leave with our listeners before we head out?
I just want to thank you, Kim, for this amazing platform. I thank everybody who's listening, and I just encourage everybody to remain present. You know, do those PQ reps. Science shows that it does actually have a shift in your brain. It does calm that monkey mind down. So do your PQ reps, guys, two fingers tipped together, close your eyes, focus on nothing else. That's my parting words. I think it's like the best gift I can give to anyone everywhere in the world.
Awesome. And with that, we'll say that'll do it for the How Now podcast for this week. And until we see you the next time, I say peace.